I was going to give you a conference on our theme on suffering, but I think what I'll do is that conference I will save until tomorrow and join it with the conference, you know, as part of the conference in the morning. Okay? But I did want to say something on this gospel. This is the conclusion of Jesus' discourse about the bread of life. Remember, he had worked a miracle with the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he fed 5,000 people. And the people wanted to make him a king, but Bishop Sheen said they wanted to make him a bread king. Because, see, if they made him king, they'd never have to do another stitch of work as far as food was concerned, would they? If he's always around, he could multiply all the loaves and fishes. They wouldn't have to do any work. But Jesus said, don't work for the bread that perishes, but work for the bread that I will give you, the bread that comes down from heaven. And in the beginning, he talked about his word, his message, was like food and drink. And that's why he said, anyone who eats my flesh will never hunger. Those who drink my blood will never thirst. But as he kept on saying, you know, he stressed the fact, my flesh is real food, my blood is real drink, and unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life in you. And that turned off many in the crowd. They said, how can any man feed us with his body and blood? Well, Jesus Christ was not just any man, was he? He was the Son of God. And so he said, my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. So here we come to the end of this. He insisted on that, eating the flesh and drinking the blood. And I thought, you know, they must have thought in terms of cannibalism. And so the crowds walked away. And as we heard here, some of his disciples, you know, said, this is too hard to accept. And Jesus said, well, what if you saw the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? What he was referring to was his crucifixion. If it was hard to accept his word about the Eucharist, it would be harder to accept the crucifixion, wouldn't it, huh? Because he would be ascending to the Father through the cross. He said, it is the Spirit that gives life, and the flesh is of no avail. And the words I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. And what was the reaction? See, he knew that there would be those who would leave him, and as a result, we heard many of his disciples return to their former way of life. And no longer walked with him. He lost the crowds over the Eucharist. He lost some disciples over the Eucharist. He was to lose one apostle, wasn't he? Huh? When he turned to the 12, as the crowd, as these other disciples were walking away and the crowds were walking away, he even asked his own 12, the apostles, will you leave me? And Peter, who always speaks for the church, doesn't he? Huh? He said, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words. You alone have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. So Peter speaks the faith of the church. And that's why they stayed. But there's a part of the gospel, and I don't know why they didn't put it here. I'm always puzzled about that. And he said, did I not choose all 12 of you? He said, but one of you has a devil. Okay, the devil of disbelief. And St. John tells us it was Judas Iscariot. Bishop Sheen, in his many talks on the priesthood, when he uses the apostles as examples, he always uses Judas, you know, in the falling away of a priest. And he said, the first step that a falling away of a priest is neglect of prayer. And the second step is to pull away from the Eucharist. See, there's always a warmth between Christ, is there not, huh? You know, when you go in the church on Good Friday when the tabernacle is empty, huh? It's empty. It's cold. Jesus is not there. You can tell that warmth, you know? And so he lost one of his apostles. Bishop Sheen said everybody thinks that Judas left because he was a thief. He said, yes, that came later on. But the real reason he left is because he didn't believe in the Eucharist. He separated from Jesus. He should have left because Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, go with them. But he stayed on. Anytime somebody is no longer connected with Jesus in their heart and stays around, they're going to cause trouble. They're bound to get into trouble. And that's what happened. Judas ended up betraying our blessed Lord. But Jesus gave us this beautiful gift, and it is, as the Vatican Council said, the Eucharist is the source and the summit of the Christian life. Pope John Paul wrote that beautiful letter on the Eucharist, talking about the Eucharist as the source and the summit of the Christian life. So we have a chance now to stay here before the Blessed Sacrament, and I just wanted to add one other thought. Bishop Sheen, you know, he made his holy hour every day faithfully for 52 years. He heard about this little girl in China who, when the rebels in China had taken over their little town, they put the priest under house arrest, they broke into the church, forced open the tabernacle, and threw all the hosts, consecrated hosts, all over the floor. Okay? The priest knew he had 32 hosts in the tabernacle. They put the priest under a house arrest. There was a guard watching him day and night. And the little girl, 12 years old. She was in the back of the church. She saw everything they did. Now, whether they didn't see her or they didn't care that she saw what they did, the soldiers left. But that little girl was so affected by it that for 32 nights in a row, she made her way back to the church, and when the guard was asleep, you know, watching her son, priest on house arrest, she would sneak in the window of the church, and she'd spend time on her knees. And since in those days the laity never touched the host with their hands, she would get down on her hands and knees and every night lick up another host. Until the 32nd night, eventually the priest saw her coming and going, and it was the last night she licked up the last host. As she was leaving, climbing out the window, she made noise and she woke up the guard. And the little girl panicked and she started to run, and the guard ran after her. And the priest saw this. He saw the guard beat the little girl to death with his rifle. And Bishop Sheen, as a young seminarian, heard that story. And he and two of his classmates were so moved. They said, you know, if that little girl could risk her life 32 times and finally give it for Jesus in the Eucharist, we can spend 1 hour of every day of our life before the Blessed Sacrament. And that's when they determined to make the holy hour. He called it the hour of power, the hour that makes my day. You know, he made it for 52 years as a seminarian, as a priest, and as a bishop, and he traveled all over. I talked to a missionary, a priest who belonged to a missionary community, and he told me that one time, Bishop Sheen ended up at their mission, I believe it was in Africa. 2:30 in the morning, he didn't ask for a bed and he didn't ask for a meal. He asked, where's the Blessed Sacrament? He wanted to make his holy hour. You know, and one time he was going between trains, you know, and he had 3 hours between trains, and he arrived and he found a church and he went in and he sat down. I guess he was so exhausted he fell asleep. He woke up an hour later. And he said, Lord, did that hour count? And he thought he heard Jesus say to him, he said, well, that's the way the apostles made the first holy hour. Remember, they slept in the garden. And so, but that became his great thing. And he said, there's three reasons to make the holy hour, and I wanted to share this with you. Number one, the friendship of Jesus. He asked for it. Watch and pray 1 hour with me. Okay? So, because of the friendship of Jesus, we like to spend time with our friends, don't we? What better friend do we have than Jesus? So, out of love for him, out of friendship for Jesus, we go and spend this time with him. Number two, the second reason he said why we spend an hour is transformation. Because if you pray in the front of the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, you'll be transformed. The Lord will affect your thoughts by the Holy Spirit. He'll affect your heart. You'll think the thoughts of Jesus. You'll love with the heart of Jesus. You'll be on fire. So there's a transformation that takes place. I always use the example, you know, people, they go down to Florida during the winter, you know, and they sit out in the sun. All right, sun, bake me, you know. And what are we doing before the Blessed Sacrament? Lord, change me. Make me more like yourself. And so what happens is you come into that church as one person. You go out as a little bit different, don't you? Huh? It's like St. Francis, when he began his conversion, he used to go into this cave to pray. And he would always go with a friend and who would watch the horses. He said, you wait out here. He said, I found a treasure in here. I have to go and check it out. His treasure was prayer. It was, and his biographers tell us one man went in the cave and another man came out. He was being transformed. So you will be transformed before Christ. And finally, the third reason for the holy hour is to intercede for souls, to plead for the salvation of souls. You know, just like Our Lady of Fatima, she said, many souls are lost from God. There's no one to pray and sacrifice for them. So those are the three things, the friendship of Jesus, to grow in love for him. Secondly, to be transformed by his presence. And thirdly, to pray for souls, for the salvation of souls, okay? To honor the Lord for those who do not honor him. So let us spend this hour, okay? May Jesus and his Holy Mother bless you.